This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. For centuries, sugar has been the base of the Cuban economy and a key part of the country's identity. This summer, the Cuban government announced it is closing more than half of the country's sugar mills and planning to grow other crops on much of the land where sugarcane previously was harvested. The downsizing of the industry shows some of the pressures Cuba is under today and how the country is changing in response. From Havana, NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
Christopher Columbus introduced sugarcane to Cuba more than 500 years ago. In the centuries since, sugar's importance to Cuba was captured in the saying, "Sin azúcar, no hay país." Basically, no sugar, no country. By the time of the Cuban Revolution in 1959, Cuba also had a thriving tourism industry, but Fidel Castro and other revolutionary leaders saw tourism as degrading. So they decided to focus on sugar as the economic foundation for their new state. The country's sugar mills, mostly U.S.-owned, were nationalized, or Cubanized, as was said at the time. And in the early years of the revolution, all Cubans were encouraged to help in sugar work, even city girls like Miriam Leiva.
The government wanted to produce 10 million tons of sugar. And all the people of Cuba had to go to the fields, to the sugar mills. And I was studying political science at that time, and I had to go for 8 months to different sugar mills to work.
Hardly a pleasant experience, but she and other Cuban college students went without complaint.
Since it was almost at the beginning of the revolution, most of the students, we were involved in all this, and we thought that this was going to help the people and improve the economy and improve the living standards. So most of us were satisfied.
Supporters of the Cuban Revolution around the world, including many young Americans, were inspired to join in the cane harvesting. The revolution leaders themselves set the example, and none more impressively than Che Guevara. Oscar Espinosa, a young agrarian reform worker, saw Che cutting cane on many occasions.
Che was the minister of industry then. He cut on the weekends. The employees of his ministry and the Ministry of Agrarian Reform went together, and many times when we went to the fields, he was already there cutting the cane.
Sugar was so important to Cuba, the industry probably got more attention than it deserved. Before the revolution, sugar production in Cuba was aided by favorable trading terms with the United States. After the revolution, generous subsidies from the Soviet Union kept sugar profitable. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the Cuban government itself funneled money into the industry. Sugar production employed 500,000 Cuban workers. Even the most ancient sugar mills were kept open, no matter how inefficiently they were operating. An NPR report on the Cuban sugar mill in 1998 featured the use there of 100-year-old steam engines. But the Cuban sugar industry was in trouble. The use of corn syrup and artificial sweeteners was cutting into world demand, and sugar prices were dropping. This mill and some others around the country closed later in 1998. At the time, it was considered a temporary move. But this summer, the Cuban government announced that most of the 156 mills in the country would permanently shut down. The Patria mill in the province of Ciego de Ávila now stands silent, its huge engines motionless. The local sugar ministry representative, Eliezer Garcia, makes the best of the situation, but his disappointment is unmistakable.
We were waiting to see whether the prices would improve and the international situation would change. But there's no alternative. This is what we have to do.
As a socialist country, Cuba approaches plant closings in its own way. All workers affected by the shutdowns are guaranteed their salaries until they find alternative employment. Even at this mill, some of the workers will be kept on. Jose Manuel Arias, with 41 years of experience here, will stay on the payroll as a locksmith, but it's not the same, he says. A big part of my life has been spent here, he says. When the factory closes, you feel it, because you've gotten to love the place. After years of pouring money into the sugar industry, Cuba's decision to scale it back has impressed some outsiders. They have finally woken up to reality, says a Western diplomat here. To replace sugar, Cuban authorities are looking back to the business the revolution once scorned, tourism. The Patria mill, it turns out, still has a role to play. It's becoming a museum to show visiting tourists how sugar mills used to work in Cuba. An old steam engine locomotive that once hauled cane to the Patria mill now hauls tourists here from nearby beach resorts. Ramon Fernandez, the last director of the Patria mill, is now a tour guide.
We're taking advantage of what we've had here. Tourism is an important source of income for us. We've had almost 9,000 visitors here already since we started these tours last year.
Fernandez planned the tour to show all phases of sugar production, from the fields where the cane is grown to the tanks where it's washed and then finally ground to produce the juice from which sugar is distilled. He's proud of being a sugar man. Tourism for years has earned Cuba more money than sugar has, and while riding the tourist train, Fernandez readily acknowledges its importance. But sugar, he makes clear, is closer to his heart.
Sugar is the history of this country. It wasn't oil, it wasn't mining, it wasn't heavy industry, it was sugar.
But now it's tourism. The sugar train stops at a little railroad crossing in the woods under a big sign, Ranchon La Palma. It's a mock-up of a typical campesino settlement set up so tourists can have a glimpse into Cuban farm life. It's like a little Cuban Disneyland. Visitors descending from the sugar train are greeted by Cuban country music and then taken on a tour of the make-believe village. Over here we have a roast pig, the guide says, grilled on an open pit. In fact, the pig has been roasted elsewhere and then brought here for display. A few steps away, another exhibit shows how sugar cane is ground to make juice. Plastic cups are passed around so tourists can taste the product. Tourism, in fact, has proven to be a successful business in Cuba, but it's an unlikely source of employment to sugar workers displaced by the downsizing of their industry. Workers left unemployed by the mill closings here in Ciego de Ávila will be channeled elsewhere, says Eliezer Garcia, the sugar industry representative.
Many of the workers who worked in these mills are going to be retrained. Some will be sent to universities, some will be trained in computers. Many will stay in the sugar industry, but go into other types of agriculture or mechanical work or accounting perhaps.
Cuban officials insist they're not giving up on the sugar industry. For example, there'll be a new emphasis on the processing of what are called sugar derivatives, such as rum. Still, the changes contemplated are sweeping. Oscar Espinosa, the former agrarian reform worker, is now an independent economist in Havana.
You can't forget that the national culture was formed over centuries on the base of the sugar industry. Housing units were built around the sugar mills. They gave rise to their own local communities. Those could now be turned into ghost towns. This is a hard hit for the nation, and it will carry an economic and political cost for the country.
The dilemma for the government is clear. If the reorganization of the Cuban sugar industry is to be successful, analysts say it needs to be ambitious. Otherwise, the industry is likely to be a continued drain on national resources. But if the changes are so sudden and dramatic as to leave thousands of Cuban sugar workers unsure what's coming next, the Cuban countryside could become a scene of discontent. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Havana.